Hello and welcome to the Palladian Energy Podcast, a podcast series for energy professionals featuring short, insightful interviews with experts who can shed light on topics that matter to you and to your oil and gas business. We cover issues relevant to the upstream, midstream, and downstream sectors. Season 2 focuses on the topic of sustainability in the oil and gas industry, and we're so happy to have you here. I'm your host, Elizabeth Corner. I'm senior editor at Palladian Publications, and I'll be leading you through a series of episodes on different aspects of sustainability for oil and gas. Please subscribe to the podcast for free on anchor.fm or wherever you get your podcasts, and rate and review. We really appreciate your feedback.
World Pipelines helps oil and gas pipeline professionals stay informed about the midstream sector, offering technical articles, regional briefings, project and contract news, and think pieces on pipelines all over the world. Register to receive a print or digital copy at worldpipelines.com and search World Pipelines on LinkedIn to join our community.
Today, I am pleased to be talking to Michaela Greenan from Infosys Consulting, which is one of the largest global management consulting firms in the world. Hi, Michaela.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Michaela is an Ernst & Young and PricewaterhouseCoopers alum with over 25 years of global consulting experience, serving clients across lots of different industries, but most notably clients working in chemicals and energy. And I asked Michaela to be on the podcast to help us to understand the types of technologies that companies are using or should be using to meet their sustainability goals. So welcome again, Michaela. Technology is so important when it comes to making the energy transition a reality. Am I right in thinking that and in using it as a starting point for our discussion today?
Elizabeth, first, thanks for having me on. And absolutely, you're right. Technology is critical. If you think about a lot of the energy companies, they really are technology companies. Just think about horizontal drilling, capturing data for making real-time decisions by using sensor data and other things. That technology is driving for much more efficiency, supporting forecasting and remote operations. If you think about the double shock of COVID and the oil price crash about 2 years ago, that really sped up some of these focuses all these companies already had on technology to even use it more to transition faster and become more agile and able to react faster to the outside pressure and opportunities because they had to. You suddenly went from, you know, high oil price to low oil price to understanding you have to be much more agile.
And we know that some oil and gas companies have been setting themselves net zero emissions targets. And what sort of questions will those companies be asking themselves with regards to how they're going to change their way of working and how does technology factor into that?
It factors in a lot. And if you think about it's the net zero, it's about efficiency. Mm-hmm. It's about using different technology or using different methods of getting energy. And a lot of what I'm hearing, in especially in the C-suite, is thinking about where should we go? If I'm a upstream company, I'm not going to go into biodiesel necessarily because that's not my core skill set. But if I know how to build an offshore rig, does it make sense for me to build an offshore wind farm? So it's these kind of questions and how do I leverage emerging technologies? Some of the companies are going into utilities, becoming much more utilities and looking at energy far further than just oil and gas. And a lot of that is driven by leveraging the technology they already have. A good example was the upstream rig versus the upstream wind farm. Mm-hmm. There's things I can reuse and leverage to actually enable me to do that.
Fantastic. We've been hearing companies asking themselves questions about how do they make their business more resilient? And as you said, should we be moving towards the low carbon sector? Should we not? And how should our operating model change in light of those things? So that really does reflect what we've been hearing. Perhaps you can briefly outline the types of emerging technologies that companies are relying on in the energy space as they reach for those energy transition goals.
That is an excellent question because it's a very complex problem. If you think about, they are dealing with heavy industrialized processes from, you know, drilling or refining all the way to customer experience. Look at retail, look at the carbon credits and things like that. So one of the answer there is it has to be very modular, flexible architecture, which can build and where the industry can actually leverage each other's knowledge, but also knowledge of the outside industry. The things we're seeing is AI and machine learning. That in combination with data lakes, for example, where you have enormous amount of data is collected through sensors, which gets another angle, which is the integration between information technology and operational technology. And taking all of that together and then making faster, quicker, smarter decisions. Another area we are thrown in to see is the industrial Internet of Things, where tools are talking to each other and kind of link it back to the data lake, link it back to the AI where it all works in harmony. Robotics is another big one. And I'm talking about robotics as robots, not the robotic automation, which definitely is more on the AI side, mm-hmm. but really using machinery to do things which are dangerous versus humans to do that. Virtual and augmented virtual reality is another one we are seeing. The virtual reality from a threat, just if you want to do a scenario where something blows up, you rather want to do that in the virtual world than in the real world and test it. But then mm-hmm. augmented reality for training, if somebody's out on an offshore wind platform, for example, and they need to fix something and they have a virtual set where they can actually start seeing what they need to do or even test it out onshore first before you go into the danger world. We also see 5G and wireless internet, which really enables a lot of these. And then digital twins, which bring it all together and really help that autonomous operations that also help the testing, the trying it out before you're actually in the field. And that also, again, is transferable to energy transition and the technologies or the products which are getting used, like solar, wind farms, mm-hmm. Offshore wind farms, all these things which are really important.
Lots of different types of technologies that you're describing there. And interesting that they're all being used to push for excellence and efficiency.
They definitely are. And I think it enables us to think outside doing other things as well, things we haven't thought about, which is, you know, a great way of leveraging known technologies, which we tried and establish. And now we are using it for something else. I just recently heard a speech from one of my clients' CEO where she talked about, we're not going to go and become, you know, something which we don't know, but we know technology and we know engineering and we can build a hydrogen plant, for example, but we're not going to do something else in alternative energy. So it really is taking what they have from a technology perspective, taking what they know and just adjusting it and using it for something new, which I think is an exciting time to be in.
Absolutely. So getting to know yourself as a company, realizing what you do best and then leveraging that and moving forward from there.
Yes.
So what barriers then do you see when it comes to achieving sustainability in the oil and gas sector? And how should the company stakeholders tackle these? What help is there available for them to navigate through?
So from a barrier, besides sometimes, and I think that's going away, but, you know, before the pandemic, I still heard some people saying this is, you know, not important. I don't even want to deal with it. Mm-hmm. But yeah. The other thing is cost, especially if they have an old infrastructure and which limits efficiency. And then limiting efficiency drives your cost up, which then limits the money you can spend on doing something else. So that's definitely one area. The other area could be regulations, which sometimes limits innovation. Big one is attracting talent. Mm-hmm. It's hard for companies to hire engineers. It's much more sexy to go to a Rivian or Calx, Tesla or Google or, you know, Apple, name it, then go and work for an oil company or an energy company, because very often it's still seen as the problem, not as helping to get the solution there. So that's kind of, for me, the, you know, the barriers. But then how can you tackle that? And one of the big things is resetting the brand. And with that, what I'm talking about is really talking about being part of the solution. I think people need to realize electricity and energy doesn't just come out of your plug. Or, you know, you don't just switch it on. It comes from somewhere. And it's a very complex issue. And if we want to be much more low carbon and really get much more sustainable, then it's a complex problem we need to solve. And energy companies need to be part of the solution. And look at, you know, all the large majors, that's where they're going. They're becoming part of the solution. That goes hand in hand with educating stakeholders and really understanding. And stakeholders are you and me. Stakeholders are governments. Stakeholders are, you know, people who still believe electricity comes out of the plug and doesn't have anywhere to start with. And then the other thing is really collaborating within the companies, within the energy community, but then also outside. Thinking about working with automotive companies on electric vehicles, manufacturing companies, and how to make it more energy efficient, their process. There is an example with, you know, Infosys, and we do this together with PP, where we have energy as a service, where we're helping cities, companies to really drive energy efficiency and use alternative energy around that. And then to your last question, which is kind of helping navigating through this, there's a lot of industry forums. It changed in the last few years. It used to be more discussion about how can we get rid of that noise, to now we understand that noise is here to stay and it is really a problem and we need to solve that. We need to become active actors in helping solving it. So you see that internet forums, blogs, podcasts like your own. I see a lot of work with universities on innovation. And I think that's another one to just get innovation in, get the outside thinking in. And then collaborating with companies outside the energy industry, like with companies like Infosys, like ourselves, where we are good in data mining, in technology, in digital capabilities. Other companies, like partner companies like AWS or Microsoft, really working with that whole ecosystem to help support the energy transition and sustainability.
I love your analogy there about the noise, about now that it's time to listen to the noise and that it's not going anywhere, because these are some big choices that these companies have to make, and presumably their economic and their reputational health are at stake here.
They absolutely. And you can, it's really interesting. A couple of years ago, I had a conversation with some of my colleagues, not here at Infosys Consulting, but there was this, in the US, there was this, this is just a fad, you know, this is going to go away. And I was like, because if we talk about energy transition and sustainability, this isn't new for a lot of these energy companies. Think about BP being Beyond Petroleum. Think about Chevron, the human energy. They were talking about that 20 years ago, 15 years ago. It's not new, but it hadn't been at the point where they could make money out of it. And it wasn't as strong driven by the stakeholders. Now it's not going away. Governments in Europe, it's a no question. I mean, in Europe, it's driven. In the US, depending on, you know, which political party is in power, more or less. But if I think about, you know, Generation Z and millennials, it's not going away for them either. And that's across the globe. That's not even Europe and the US. Think about Asia. They have the same problems now. It's a problem which isn't going away. And the awareness is there that companies, if they want to be successful, need to have a stand on it and need to have a way of doing it, or they're going to be dropped, you know, from listings or from funds or from other things. So they're going to lose the investments.
Yeah, I wonder if the traditional concept or expectations of business growth for an oil and gas company has changed in light of the sustainability movement.
I don't think it necessarily has changed, but I think, I'll give you one example. I had a conversation with the CFO of one of the downstream companies in the US.
Yeah.
And his question, he was mulling around, and this is a few years ago, was mulling around saying, how long do I stay in refining as my cash engine? Because I still need to make money. My shareholder still wants to get a dividend at the end of the year. But how can I do that and at the same time start investing in my future? Because I think the other thing which is becoming, people are realizing in the industry, is we used to talk about peak oil. Mm-hmm. Now we talk about peak demand. Because there is a shift, people are going away. Mm-hmm. And in the US, fuel is still the biggest, you know, usage for carbon. In Europe, it's probably more electricity and energy. But that big demand and that switch is happening. And they know it's happening. This isn't something where anybody is arguing it's not happening anymore. And so as a company, if I my sustainability, I need to have a plan around that. I also need a plan on how do I pay for my transition. Mm-hmm. And then at what point do I make the full transition? And it's interesting because depending on the company, you see different approaches. You see, you know, the European companies becoming much more utility companies, getting into the entire energy value chain. When you see some of the US companies, they are going different ways. Some of them are saying we are really focusing on carbon sequestration and carbon capture because we know carbon isn't completely going to go away anytime soon because they're, you know, it's in plastic and it's in other things. But the energy consumption might go away and there's going to be a pressure on the carbon generation. So, I can't see a boardroom where they didn't have a conversation about where you go.
It's fascinating. A lot of it is about timing and about pacing yourself at the right speed, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. You know, nobody wants to be the blockbuster. I don't know if the UK had blockbusters, but yeah. The blockbuster of the energy industry where you just miss that there's something new coming and you weren't on that wagon and you didn't make that transition.
Yeah. So given your experience then in the industry, what does leadership mean to you as it applies to sustainability? Is it simply helping and encouraging companies to embrace a change?
It's more than that. It definitely is more than that. For me, it's driving KPIs, including that. And if you look at, I'm just thinking through, I don't think there is an energy company anymore which doesn't have a sustainability report. Mm-hmm. And that's providing transparency and taking responsible for it. So it's really driving KPIs into the entire organization. It's D&I, it's, you know, diversity, inclusion, equity as part of it. And, you know, when I started my career in energy, there were no female CEOs anywhere. There were no female senior leaders anywhere. And you're starting to see that. You see a much more diverse group of people, which also diversity of thought brings, you know, different thinking, different ways of doing. There's also a need to start thinking about providing low-cost solutions for everybody. And I'm not just talking the developed work. I really talk about everywhere. I know LNG is seen with some, you know, some critical thinking, but on the other hand, it does provide a very easy way to provide low-cost energy to Africa, South America, Asia, because it's much more flexible and much cheaper to build. And it's also lower in carbon emission. Yeah. The other thing I think is really important is to open, and you see several companies are doing that now, to just start interoperability around different digital identifier around carbon. So how do I track my carbon? How do I look at my footprint? And how can I take this from scope one, which is, you know, my own company, all the way to scope three, mm-hmm. and raise awareness of that? And I think that for me is leadership, to really drive that and drive the conversation and drive the solution.
Fantastic. Infosys has recently been ranked number 2 in the HFS Energy Transition Services 2022 report. So congratulations on the ranking. This commends the company's ambition across the energy transition and broader sustainability arena. So with the idea of ambition in mind, how should companies in the oil and gas sector be approaching their environmental and their social performance over the next 5, 10, 20 years?
So thank you for the congratulations, first of all. That is a really difficult question because it's a very complex problem to solve. And we all have to solve it. You need to look at it from a demand and a supply side. You can't just look at it from a supply side. It's the demand, the efficiency piece as well. And you also need to consider factors like economic growth, like security, especially, you know, with the issues and around the war in the Ukraine. We see that the energy security is in everybody's mind. So it really is a different difficult problem to solve, and everybody needs to be part of that. And we as Infosys, we actually see ourselves as being part of the solution. Infosys is carbon neutral since 2020, and we are very proud of that. And we have started the energy as service with our long-term partner, BP, where we leverage each other's expertise to build a platform to manage energy efficiency in building cities by using technology to drive efficiency, as well as low carbon power, heating and cooling and mobility. We're using solar and other ways of doing this. And it's a really great way. We are using it on our own campuses, but we are starting to roll this out as well, and really using energy as a service as a total to have sensors and things to optimize efficiency, but then also to provide that low carbon solution. I think it's coming. So next 5, 10, 20 years, it's staying around collaborating with the industry, within the industry, and across other stakeholders. At this point, it's, you know, around carbon tracking, trading and offsets. It's carbon capture and sequestration. I think hydrogen is very promising, especially green hydrogen. Mm-hmm. Emission reduction and efficiency is a big one. And if I think about EVs, charging and retail, really starting to think about transforming from renewable to non-carbon for fuel and electricity. And even maybe, you know, think about the whole ecosystem around battery is another thing, because, you know, if you think about lithium, there is a whole other slew of issues coming with that. So it's a solution. It's a problem we all have to solve, and we all need to be part of it, and we all need to work together with that. And I'm really proud of being part of Infosys, where we are working with our long-term clients and partners to become a solution of some of the problems.
Thank you so much, Michaela, for talking to me about technology and sustainability and about choosing where and how to compete as the world transitions to its low carbon future. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
My thanks to Michaela Greenan at Infosys Consulting for her insight on steering the oil and gas sector towards a future where low carbon sources play the lead role, while being mindful of revenue, timing, and stakeholder expectations. Technology, it seems, is key to unlocking the value here, both in terms of how your company can grow and thrive, and how it can contribute to the bigger picture of the energy transition. Thanks for listening to the Palladian Energy Podcast. Subscribe for free on anchor.fm or wherever you get your podcasts. If you have enjoyed this episode, please rate and review and forward to a colleague or friend.
Palladium Publications is home to four industry-leading oil and gas magazines. Together, Oilfield Technology, World Pipelines, LNG Industry, and Hydrocarbon Engineering cover the upstream, midstream, and downstream sectors. Search for the magazines online and subscribe for free to receive a print copy or to see the digital version.